Hello and welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is your host, Rav, recording this a few hours after this morning's final whistle with Arsenal drawing on the night 2-2 with PSV, but of course comfortably winning on aggregate, which I think we all knew was almost a formality after thumping them 7-1 in the first leg. How is everyone today? I hope wherever you are in the world, you are well and safe and enjoying what was a very different type of match, really, compared to what we've seen. It was different in many respects, from the crowd atmosphere, the rotation in the lineup, of course, a number of fringe players given some considerable minutes tonight. And of course, then in terms of, I've been trying to figure out the right way to explain this, the right words to use to describe. Watching this, I just felt a sense of calm. A sense of ease, and there wasn't the same jeopardy and emotion and tenseness, you know, that we otherwise feel with Arsenal, especially with what we've endured of the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, right? With everything from the heavy schedule in January, the awful injuries we copped every few days. I was waiting for that Orn bomb, right? Just to hear, what are we doing in the transfer market? And you're sort of riding the highs and lows, and a rumor would emerge, and then Watkins, and then it didn't happen, and then deadline day, right? We thumped City just right on the cusp of deadline day, and then I was thinking, wow, to cap this off would be strengthening in the transfer market. It didn't happen, of course. We go away to Dubai. Havertz injured. Just prior to that, we bowed out of the Carabao Cup and Martinelli was injured, and the feeling and the sentiment was so low. Of course, we come back and we somehow scrape through 80 minutes of very dour football against Leicester. But lo and behold, Mourinho comes up good with some late goals, some wonderful interchanges with Ethan Wanieri. And we thought, we hoped, you know, there was still a possibility, still a chance. And then, woof. Right, we I don't need to go through it all again. I don't want to re-traumatize any of my listeners, and we all know what I'm referring to. West Ham and then Forest and then United over the weekend, and our league campaign is really stuttering to I wouldn't say an absolute halt, but of course it's the title, the league campaign is gone, and the frustrations and the energy and the emotion expended watching Arsenal struggle to score, struggling to break down these persistent low blocks, and we're all wondering how we're going to unlock a goal, right? And it was just very different being able to watch and enjoy this match this morning. You know, normally I don't think we'd all be too keen on a 2-2 draw. These were the two goals, the first two goals that Arsenal have conceded in the Champions League at home this season, right? And it's March. I mean, that's a fantastic stat. That's a testament to the club, testament to the defence, testament to the mentality. It's been tremendous. The two goals themselves weren't particularly good, were they, right? I suppose that there's no good goal to concede. However, they were very un-Arsenal-like goals, quite sloppy, quite ill-disciplined. I'm sure within the club they're not pleased at all with that. But however, just to be able to otherwise cruise through a match like this, I'm savoring it for what it was, because that's about the only time I think we're going to be able to experience such a thing in the remaining few months of the season, given the tension is dialed right up in other fixtures. So it was just a welcome change to be able to just sit back and enjoy it. And towards the end, towards the last 5 or 10 minutes, I was switching between, I'm not sure what coverage you all have where you watch in your part of the world, but here, Champions League is only on a streaming platform called Stan, and you can only watch the one fixture at a time. There used to be other streaming services where you could have like a picture in picture. You could be watching two broadcasts at the same time. You just nominate the main one, which has the audio, but then in a smaller segment of your screen, you can be keeping an eye on the other one. But Stan doesn't have that feature. So towards the end of the Arsenal PSV tie, I was just keeping an eye on the other result, Atleti and Real Madrid. Of course, that's very relevant to Arsenal. That's the outcome. Is dependent upon who we face in the next round, in the quarterfinals. So I was keeping an eye on that. And I guess I may as well talk about it now that I've referenced it. Real Madrid, We've got a Real Madrid tie in the Champions League quarterfinals. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. We haven't faced them since that very famous Thierry Henry goal at the Bernabeu. I still remember their commentary like it was yesterday. I remember watching it live. Took the ball from just beyond halfway. He'd shrugged off a few players. Beckham. And there were some magnificent names in that. It was that Galactico stage, the Galactico era of Real Madrid. To go there and beat them with a bit of a makeshift team it was back then. Sometimes when we read out the 11, I mean, we had Matthew Flamini as a left back during that amazing run into the final, which, look, I won't talk about how that ended because no one needs to hear that again, right? I'm still recovering somewhat. But Thierry Henry with that solo goal, the commentary was sensational. And it's just, it's one of those quirks of the draw, right, that the two teams haven't met since. It's just, look, it's one of those things that happens, I guess, right? When you're continually seeded in the higher pots, you, of course, don't meet in the group stage. And, you know, Arsenal participated in the Champions League for many, many consecutive years after. And look, it's just a reality. It reflects that Arsenal just used to get bowed out at the round of 16 or a quarter final, right? We would come up against one of the big boys, usually Bayern or Barcelona, during those 2000 years, the latter stage Arsene Wenger years. And we wouldn't earn the right to get to this stage of the competition to meet one of the big boys. So in that respect, I'm actually really glad it's Real Madrid. It sounds really strange because they're the biggest club in the world, the most followed, the most successful in this competition. Do I realistically think we're going to advance against them? My heart says, look, my head says no. My heart says you never know, perhaps so. However, given the way we are struggling to score goals, aside from PSV, right? But we're not going to be facing them every week. I didn't think we'd stood much of a chance if we faced Diego Simeone and how incredibly defensively drilled Atletico Madrid are. I didn't think we'd stand too much of a chance against them. Strangely enough, Real Madrid are a little bit more open, even though they have the more potent attacking group, right? Mbappe, Vini Jr., Rodrigo, it does scare me, right? Maybe we can get at them. I don't know. It's just one of those initial raw reaction feelings that maybe in that weird angle that they do suit us as an opponent stylistically a bit better than Atletico do. So it's just one of those things, right, where we just have to now find a way, make it happen. If you can't get your, this is, I'm talking and referring to the players here. If they can't get themselves up right now, given how we floundered in the league, and we all know the reasons why, and we don't need to go through them all again, right? However, if we can't get ourselves up and going for Real Madrid in the quarterfinals, a enormous tie at the Emirates, like what a night for everyone there, for the home fans, for the club itself. Like, it's an event. It's absolutely an event. It's not just any run-of-the-mill fixture, right? Any visiting side just coming and going. This is Real Madrid at the Emirates. It is massive. It is absolutely massive for the club. We've earned the right to be there. We deserve this. The fans deserve this, right? If you're lucky enough to get a ticket there, like, wow, you know, all power to you. Like, what a tremendous experience you're going to have. And hopefully it's the type of night that we'll be talking about in folklore, right, over the many years to come. But we'll discuss that further in depth as the match approaches. Just to even be there, right, for us to even say, okay, we are facing Real Madrid, I think it's massive for the players, for the club, for Arteta. It's absolutely brilliant. And if you can't get yourself up and going to leave everything, to empty your tank out on the field, then, you know, like, what are we all here for, right? The club has purposefully, intentionally, for a number of years now, built up to nights like this. We have made strategic decisions going 3, 4, 5 years ago, right, to build to moments like this. And now we've got it in our hands. And just to relish in it, enjoy the experience, enjoy the contest, and let's give it all. Let's give it everything we got. And you never know. Maybe Bukayo is back by then. I don't know if it's too early in his rehab recovery, I'm not sure. However, I tell you what, behind the scenes, he'd be looking at this and licking his lips too, right? Real Madrid, right? And for him to get back and help the team that he loves do the thing that he loves best, playing football, bringing joy, bringing smiles to people, he would be doing everything he possibly can, within reason, of course, to accelerate his rehab and recovery. And I'm just hoping that somehow we'll be able to get him, because I want him to experience it too, right? He deserves it. He absolutely does. And let's see how that unfolds in the next few weeks. I can't not mention, though, the huge controversy. I'm not sure if you were tuning in for the penalty shootout. I just happened to be around, and I knew it was going to extra time, and I was just keeping half an eye on the score as I was doing bits and pieces this morning. My boys were having breakfast. And then as soon as I saw the second half of extra time finish and it was going to penalties, I switched it back on, because a penalty shootout, right? Like, it brings such jeopardy. It's a spectacle. When it's your own team, like, oh my God, like I'd crumble into a heap. Watching last year's penalty shootout against Porto, right? I wasn't in a good state, and I'm 44 years old, right? And I was still right at every kick and every moment, like, you know, chewing my fingernails and just, yeah, you feel the highs and the lows. Yesterday watching Liverpool and PSG, and this morning watching Atleti and Real Madrid, I'm just grateful that it wasn't Arsenal this time, just to be able to watch it. It's still so tense, right? Even as a neutral, it's still so nerve-wracking. But just to be able to watch it without that same level of emotion and energy that I've mentioned a few times in this recording, it was a very welcome change for me. So we can't not mention that Alvarez goal. I've seen this replay so, so many times. How can you possibly say that that was clear and obvious, right? The two words clear and obvious are so often repeated when they look to VAR to intervene. The referee is standing right there. He has seen it. The linesman is there. They've got their eyes on this stuff, right? If things slip through the cracks, of course, right? You know, you've got the backup, you've got the safety net of VAR in your ear to step in and make you aware of something that you otherwise didn't see. This, to me, And I guess the more I talk about this, there must be more to it, right? There must be a separate angle, separate footage that they have the benefit of seeing that the broadcasters don't show. Because based on the number of replays, the number of times it's been slow, that the slow motion has slowed it right down to the point of impact, I cannot see how it hits both feet. Look, I just can't. Is it an optical illusion? I don't know. You're looking for something, some clear and obvious deflection or deviation of the ball, that it starts to go one way, but then momentarily or slightly dislodges the other way. I can't see it. If you can, if you've seen it, or by the time that you'll listen to this, if more footage has been released that I'm not aware of, please do reach out, let me know, because I just cannot see how you can overturn that. I mean, football in itself, at the best of times, especially at this pointy end of the competition, it just comes down to moments, doesn't it? It comes down to the finest moments, the finest of margins as it is. Has the ball completely crossed the line, whether it's the goal line or the byline, out of bounds? You know, it's there's so much left to luck as well and chance. It's the finest of margins. Where the ball makes impacts with Oblak's gloves, for example, in the last penalty kick taken from Rudiger. So he dived the right way. He got a strong hand to it. Just unluckily, unfortunately for him, it's just hit the lower part of his strong hand, not the middle. If it hits the middle and it palms straight out or beyond the post, done. It's a save. The finest of margins, though, just millimeters or centimeters. It hits the bottom part of his hand and it angles down and deflects in on the bounce. I mean, it's so unlucky, right? It's just football, it's mad sometimes. It doesn't always make sense, and it comes down to the finest of margins. Yes, people will quite rightly point to the Vinny Jr. penalty in regular time that was skied over the bar. Like, that was an awful, awful take. I didn't see it at the time. I've only seen it since, because at that point of the match, I was still tuning in watching Arsenal PSV. But just the finest of margins. I cannot believe they've ruled out what looked to me a legitimate a goal to me for Atleti in the penalty shootout. And geez, it's just one of those things where I don't know. Maybe it's the cynical side of me, right? But does anyone else but Real Madrid get that call in a UEFA competition? I don't know. It's just, yeah. Look, it's I won't go too far down that rabbit hole, but I can't help but feel that that's just not something that you see. If the roles were reversed, right? If it was going the other way, I don't think Real Madrid get that goal ruled out to them. But anyway, let's just leave it at that. I'd be quite angry, fuming, right, if we were on the receiving end of something like that. It's just, it must really suck for them, must suck for their fan base in their home stadium too, right, given the significance of that rivalry. And let's be honest, Real Madrid, they're not the most gracious of winners, yes, if you know what I mean. It's just, it would really suck for them, and it would be a particularly low moment for them. So it's just one of those things, unfortunately, and just hope there's nothing nasty like that awaiting for us in the quarterfinal. But look, back to, I'll bring this, this is an Arsenal podcast, right? So I will bring it back to the match that we've just seen unfold. I'll talk about selection. I think, look, Arteta surprised me. He actually rotated more than even I anticipated. We saw starts for the likes of Kiwior, Jorginho, Tierney, Sterling, Zinchenko. Like, it was fantastic. Right, I fully expected White to play, because I think Arteta alluded to as much, saying that in his preparation, in his rehabilitation, he's loaded up his minutes enough that he's ready to start this. So I think this is a very welcome time to sit out Timber. Timber's minutes, I mean, it barely gets mentioned, right? But his minutes this season, the load he's carried off the back of an ACL injury, like, it's extraordinary, right? We've kind of maybe just glossed over it, understandably, given the amount of other things that have drawn our attention as fans in watching Arsenal this season. Timber's minutes has just really floated along lines. It's been incredible. Full credit to him. His preparation, the repair recovery work he's done in between matches, it's been fantastic, right? And touch wood that continues. So White, I expected to play. I was wondering if Neto would get a start in goal, right? It's just one of those things where on paper, if it's not going to be now, then when? There's no other cup matches, and he was cup tied anyway in the Carabao Cup right earlier in the season, which, just strange, one of those strange, you know, peculiar things that Arsenal did last summer in terms of the goalkeeper chases, in terms of who we're going to source to be the second keeper behind Raya, and, you know, panic loaning him at the last minute. Yeah, it was just bizarre. Anyway, so I'm glad Raya stayed fit. Speaking of when I was just praising Timber for backing himself up match after match this season, the same should be said of Raya. He's been tremendous for us. Where would we be without him? I shudder to think. He's fantastic. Deserves his standing right amongst the conversations of the best performing goalkeepers this season. He's been fantastic. I was expecting Gabriel to maybe do the first half and Saliba the second half. Like, they would share the minutes. They would share the load this match, one half at a time, and Kiwior would play the full 90. But anyway, it's one of those things that maybe Saliba could have benefited from sitting this one out. He too has carried a very heavy load. So we saw then Lewis Skelly started at left back. Now, what was really interesting, just before I come to the goals, sorry, what was really interesting is that with some second half changes, we then saw Calafiori come on. He shifted over to left back, or that marauding, roaming left back attacking role that he performs so well. And Lewis Skelly shifted into midfield. Now, this was very interesting to see, because by nature, he is a six. He's a midfielder by trade. All his development so far in the youth teams, under 21s, has been as a six. So that was fantastic to see. Maybe we're just keeping an eye on the pathway for Lewis Skelly for the latter stages of this season and going into next season, given the amount of turnover we're expecting to see with Partey and Jorginho set to leave the club this summer. It's very interesting. Have we got one eye on Lewis Skelly becoming a permanent midfielder next season? But let's see. Kieran Tierney at left wing, right, was very different. He, as the game went on, he sort of reverted more and more to a left wing back style. He was spending more time in deeper positions. Marino started and Sterling started. Look, Sterling had a very good game, I must say. Like it was probably his best game for the club. Two assists to his name. I think the second assist was more of a standout, if you know what I mean. He actually took his man on. He beat him on the run on the overlap, which is something we haven't seen too much of this season. His confidence had grown by that point. It was an excellent pass back and a fantastic header from Rice. It really was a tremendous header. Zinchenko, the first goal, like brilliant shot. Like it's the type of thing that I think we all look at that moment and think, like, why don't we do that more often? Why are we not taking shots from that position just in front of the box? Yes, a lot of the reasons why is because we are not given that space in the Premier League in low blocks. We sometimes don't have the freedom to work in that key areas outside the box. But even when we do, I see Arsenal just overplaying things. Odegaard's shot, his shots have sort of dried up this season, and it's just one of those things. Like, why are we not taking more chances like that? And credit to Zinchenko, he did, and he scored a lovely goal. Some slop. Look, speaking of goals, we have to point out the goals Arsenal conceded are the first goals at home in the Champions League we've conceded. I've already mentioned that. And the nature of it too. I'm not sure how much you can really read into it, right? It's the kind of thing, I don't think we're that sloppy in a game with more on the line, with more jeopardy involved. I just don't think we are that lackluster. I just don't think we're that lazy, so to speak, as well. Some of the passes playing out from the back. Jorginho with a very un-Jorginho-like moment. Like he's a player that I attribute to having the type of unique vision that before he even gets the ball, he already knows what pass he's going to make. Like he sees passes before they happen. He sees the next phase of play before he's even done the first one. So for him to be caught out like that was really unusual. And I don't know. This is not the type of game where we can read too much into individual performances or mistakes and draw too many conclusions based on that, right? A lot of them are playing this match because of the match state, the game situation that we could afford to rest and rotate some players. So there's a bit of rustiness involved too, right? However, it's just one of the things that I just don't think we would see that, especially from a player of the caliber and experience of Jorginho. So I'm just happy I wouldn't say gloss over that, but it's hard to be too conclusive based on what we've seen. I don't believe we would see those mistakes otherwise, and I'm certainly hoping we don't see anything gifted like that, because we are going to be punished to the maximum against Real Madrid, and even a lot of Premier League clubs as well would pounce on those sorts of errors now, given the strength of a number of clubs in England at the moment. So that's pretty much all I'm trying to think of too much else to say from the match itself. There is a key thing I wanted to say. For a while now, we've been wondering if/when we will see maybe Ismail Kabia or Nathan Butler Owadeji given some minutes. And as time went on and more opportunities came and went, and Sterling, you know, was given minutes ahead of anyone else on the bench, I think we started to maybe draw a conclusion that they're perhaps just not at the level. I mean, Arteta knows best, right? He's the one who sees them in training all the time, and he's the one who has the better sense of their readiness to participate and come in and meet that level. If they weren't going to get minutes now, then it's just not going to happen. I just felt like it was like a surely it's a now or never type of moment. And Arteta was even asked that pre-match, you know, does he want to give minutes to them as some kind of, I forgot how the wording of the question was phrased, but along the lines of saying thank you to them for them being on the bench for so long, joining your first team training, right, always being sort of ready and available to step in if need be. And Arteta alluded as much that yes, he wants to give that, he wants to reward that, he wants to reward those efforts with an opportunity here. But with 10 or I think it was about 12, 14 or so minutes left on the clock, and I saw the three subs lining up, right? Timber coming on, Odegaard coming on, and I forgot who the third sub was. I know White came on for Timber, Odegaard, Marino and Rice were already off at this stage. They were the previous two subs. Martinelli, that's it. Of course, Gabriel Martinelli came on as well. He understandably needed some minutes as he's loading up again, similar to some others who just needed to use the opportunity to reintegrate back into first team football. So look, I guess Odegaard was the one you could have questioned. Did he need to come on at that point, or even Trossard prior to that? So yeah, look, it's just a little bit unfortunate. I guess it maybe just validates some of the theories that there perhaps is not at the level yet. And I think it's fully expected that Nathan Butler, Oyedeji will depart the club this summer anyway. But look, it is what it is. I guess it's just one of those things in my head that I was thinking if it was ever going to happen, it was going to be now. But not to be. Look, we've got a huge fixture coming up this weekend against Chelsea in the Premier League that I'm really, really hoping we can get back to winning ways. We just need to keep an eye on those clubs now, just slowly but surely closing the gap on second place in the Premier League table. Forest and City and Chelsea, you know, not too much beyond that. I don't want to be conceding too much further ground on them, right? I think it's really important that Arsenal finish the league campaign strongly, finish in second, and we give it our absolute all in the Champions League, because you just never know what is going to happen. Aside from that, I think I'm going to bring this podcast, draw this one to a close. Thank you so much for listening. Again, any questions or feedback or suggestions you have, I most welcome them. I would please welcome any likes or subscribes if you're listening on YouTube or a follow on your favorite podcast app. And leave a review, please, if you're able to. That would be most beneficial to me. It helps boost its visibility in the ratings. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. I will be back on in a couple of days as we start to hone in on the Chelsea match this weekend. And once again, just thank you all for listening. Stay safe wherever you are in the world. Best wishes to you all and your families. And come on, Arsenal.